Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel to a boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What'd we say? What'd we do?
Wow, look at that, Amit.
A little fade. All right, what's going on, guys?
On late,
late. 10:30, Bobby? I wasn't ready for that. I thought it was at 10 o'clock.
After daylight savings, too.
Oh, my goodness. But we did it. We're here. Garden Report, Celtics. I kept waiting for this game to get to 30 points. It never did. It was just so annoyingly at basically between 10 and 14, like the whole game until the very end there. And they put them away. It's a back-to-back. I mean, not a lot to draw from this game here. But again, the Celtics playing down two starters, and it's still no problem, naturally, against a team like Portland. So I'll start with you, Bobby. What do you have to say about tonight's game?
Another great game for the bench. They just keep performing this year. I've been impressed by them throughout. They pick you up when guys are out, when multiple guys are out now. They continue to win games in those spots. No Porzingis for the second night in a row tonight. I want to say they only have three losses with him out this year, 15-3.
Bobby, you muted yourself. You coming back?
Yeah, 15-3 now without Porzingis, which is pretty amazing, considering concerns about center depth coming into the year. I thought all those guys, and you can include Horford in that group, who's filling in off the bench in a game like this, all of them were great.
Yep.
You got a good performance from him, 22 from Hauser, best game from him all year probably. And then Pritchard, I thought, in a spot start was excellent.
Yep. So, good Hauser game. You got the Pritchard versus Banton matchup you were looking for. We also got the power coming back on at the Blakely household. We're going to bring in Sherrod. Sherrod Blakely was a late alert went out with Sherrod's availability right before the game, which was questionable power outage. But apparently he got it back, so here he is.
Yes, we have power. Power. Yep. Little breaker fix, and we're good. We're good. There's nothing like having an electrician come to your house after 5 p.m. That's awesome. They love that. They love that.
Yeah. So Sherrod, ho-hum, fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we expected. I mean, to me, this felt like an NCAA tournament 1-16 game where you kind of know what the outcome's going to be. It's just a matter, are they going to blow them out or are they going to make it interesting? And I thought other than the second quarter, the Celtics never really – allow Portland to feel comfortable as though they could win this thing. Portland would have a 10-2 run here and there after they were down by 19, but the Celtics consistently made the shots, got the defensive plays, got the contributions from anyone and everyone that they needed to win a game that was never really in question or doubt as to the outcome. It's just a matter of what would the margin be by. So I like what Pritchard did. I thought Pritchard had a really good game. I thought he set the tone early on. And there was a graphic in there that kind of showed what he typically does on West Coast trips. So this was nothing unusual for him to play well. I thought, Bobby, your boy, Cornette was good. I thought Cornette was really good and consistently good.
We're starting to say that every night.
No, we're not. We're not going to do that.
Yeah. What the hell? No. Sorry, Sherrod. Go ahead.
He was good tonight.
Joe Sway's entered the chat. Get in here.
I know, but we haven't
been. I'm so glad you guys are here. I didn't want to do any talking tonight, so this is great.
Oh, so you're
just minimize your talking to like.
I'm load managing while in the game right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, just like the starters tonight.
Okay, yeah, exactly. By the fourth quarter, it'll just be all of us, the three of us. But no, sorry, Sherrod, to cut you off there, but I got more to say on that. But go ahead.
Well, let's get it going because I'm like John. I look. It's all about just passing a rock. What you got, Joe Sway? Go ahead.
I mean, these last two games, yes, this is probably the best stretch of basketball I've seen from Luke Cornett, probably ever, because he's checking.
Wait, how did we get here?
Whoa. I was giving Luke like 5 seconds of compliments as part of a larger conversation.
We're in the middle of a Luke Kornet conversation, and I well, and I blanked out.
Bobby says what, like, how many games has it been? As if it's been like a month. I'm like, wait a minute,
well, all year,
all year.
Yeah.
Wait, you're talking about Saturday and today. You're talking about he's been doing that.
If this weekend, yes. If he didn't play this weekend, absolutely.
He didn't play on Thursday. Sunday, he was great. Tonight, great. And then all the games, I felt like pretty much maybe save for that Cavs game.
He's got a mini streak going. He's got a mini streak going, man.
It's so hard to get this guy.
Bobby trying to cash in these 2 days for the narrative for the entire season. That's funny.
I can't do it. We've talked. We've done this. We've done it already. We're not going to trash him every time he has a bad 6 minute stint and celebrate his vast accomplishments every time he plays a good 6 minute stint.
That's not what I wanted to do either.
No, we're not doing this, okay? I said I wasn't going to talk, but I will not allow the show to go down this road this early. I'm not going there yet.
Listen, hey, I'm all here. I'm here for giving Luke his flowers, but let's pump the brakes, Bobby. Come on, man.
I just read the stat off the top, by the way. 15-3 without Porzingis in the game this year. So who's playing when Porzingis is out? Sometimes
Jaylen,
playing starter Jason? Minutes when Porzingis is out.
You act as if this is like a one-on-one game. No. Bobby, they're a really good team with or without Porzingis. They've shown that all year.
Yeah.
I mean, true. So it's I can't look at any stats that say, well, what their record is without this guy or that guy, because they win a lot of games. They've lost, what, 14 games all year?
I mean, yeah, but you need to have another center who can step in and play – double-digit minutes. Well,
I think it's fair to say that this guy named Al Horford was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, Horford's great.
I think it's very fair to say that this guy, Al Horford, is a pretty good player in general.
Right.
To me, the more you watch Al play, the clearer it becomes that dude has way more in the tank than we thought. Way more in the tank. Whoa. Now, is he 30-minute Al? No. But he's 20, 25 pretty damn good minutes, Al.
Playoff minutes.
Yeah, this was such an Al Horford. Let me just get it in now because I'm probably not going to play when Porzingis gets back. That'll be my day off. So I'm just going to go hard right now. And the way the playoffs are set up is the playoffs are perfect for a guy like Al Horford to be the best version of him almost every game because he's going to get at least a day off in between every single game. And right now, Al is doing a little bit of everything. I mean, not just knocking down the three. I think his defense has picked up a little bit of late. And just, frankly, his impact. And that's the thing that Al and Jason and all those, top-tier guys in his team have to do. Their numbers at this point are irrelevant. It's impact. Can you make an impact in the minutes you get out there? And Al is doing that.
Yes. Yeah, man, it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible when you think about the role he's taken on and obviously his age is always what everyone's going to point at, but I just think mentally, like for him to adjust to coming off the bench the way he has, it's been impressive, man. I mean, like this is something that he's never had to do, and which is in itself a testament to the kind of player he is, because, you know, being in the league this long and just now taking on this, bench role, but taking it in stride with passing all the tests with flying colors, man. Like I just think Al Horford is that guy who is going to play inspired basketball. You don't have to worry about that in the postseason, but to do this on like any given night, whenever his number is called, speaks volumes as to where he is in his career in terms of like his body and in terms of his, obviously his health, but also just where he is mentally. Like you give him any role, he's going to take it on. He's going to pass with flying colors. And I just think that right now, with how the Celtics are, with so many different weapons that they have throughout their starting five, this is going to be a big luxury in the postseason, having Al on your side for sure.
Well, the other thing too about him, and this, it kind of flies below the radar, but I've just found with older players, as they get near the end of the road, there's a greater sense of urgency when the playoffs roll around because they know that, you hear them talk about all the time, you got to take this serious because you never know when you're going to get back there. Al literally knows this for a fact. He may not get another chance to win a championship after this season, to have a team that's so perfectly built to do that. And so for him, there's a different kind of urgency I anticipate seeing in the playoffs because he knows that this is the best shot he may ever have at winning a championship, with him still being able to be part of that, as opposed to being like a lot of guys that, as they near the end of their careers, but they're just basically holding on to the coattails of the guys who are really playing. Udonis Haslem, yep, talking about
Haslem. I was going to say the Haslem, you know, yeah.
And I'm not hating on that. I mean, it is what it is, but Al is a prideful guy. He wants to be able to contribute and play, and this is the best shot he has ever had of winning a championship and still being a guy that's part of their regular rotation.
Yeah, he's no Haslem, man. Okay. He's no Haslem for sure. That's so true.
All right. So we've done Luke. We've done Udonis Haslem.
John's shaking his lip, taking it twice.
Shut up.
Let me get through my rundown. Yep, I had Haslem.
I mean, the bench won them the game.
Oh, gee. Haslem.
Sure. Honestly, they were going to win the game no matter what
happened. I was going to say the bench, the starters. I don't know,
it was pretty even early with the starters in there.
But this one felt
good. Can we talk about the thing that matters? Is Jason Tatum okay? Guys, is he okay?
You still worried about that?
Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be okay?
He needs a hug or something.
He might need a hug. He looks like his puppy ran away and like... You know, like his best friend told him we're not best friends anymore, or like, so, you know, something he got jumped.
He doesn't have that pop that we're used to seeing.
He's just, and he needs a break. Does he need a break? And right now, and someone just put a comment up here, as Bobby and I were talking about this. He's in a weird place right now, isn't he? Like, he looks off, but like also like his first two possessions of the game.
Yeah, two turnovers.
Almost. One got bounced back. I call that one the Jalen, you know, where he dribbles off his knee, but it amazingly
Jalen
makes
got
it back
blocked
into a,
tonight.
Back don't into a Celtics hand.
Jalen got blocked tonight, and the ball landed back in his hands for a basket.
He's been working really hard this year, John, right? And he's also been killing it for the last, like, month. Jesus.
I'm just kidding. I just did that for Luis. But
no, it actually happened to Jalen tonight.
It did. But I feel like
I know Bobby, but it's
been
a while.
First two possessions of the game, he has it should have been a turnover and a turnover, and then brick, which again, fine, you'll miss some shots, but he looked all over the place, right? And it just wasn't the start that you wanted because he's been dragging ass on this trip a little bit. And he looks a little worn down. So, like, yeah, I don't think Jason Tatum turned into a bad basketball player overnight. He's in a funk right now. I desperately want to see him sit tomorrow, desperately.
You
know
tonight.
What the crazy part is? He had 26, 8, and 5 with one turnover. I mean, his numbers don't really align with the eye test. Because when you watch him play...
Well, he was 9 of 23. One was a three-pointer off the backboard. He airballed another three. So he basically, like, intentionally hit a third of his shots, which wasn't great. You know, like, so he's a little bit off, but... But this is what Bobby and I were talking. I think Zach put it up earlier. When he's not playing, so Bobby and I were kicking this around on the thread, like, and everybody agrees. Even Derek White's dad agreed on Twitter the other day. let the point guards run the offense, right? Point Tatum has been a crusade of mine I've been against for a while. But good point somebody put up here, which is when you take – the ball, two things are happening. When you take the ball out of Tatum's hand, he can't be point Tatum and kind of get into his rhythm and find his groove and do his thing, which can sometimes, you know, send him off into 50-point land. Or, you know, he has one of those nights where you're like, all right, dude, you know, you're done here. But when he's off ball, he's kind of doesn't do anything, right? Because, right, he's not a dead-eye, knockdown, spot-up shooter, and he kind of stands around a little bit when he's playing off the ball, and he's just another guy. And there was a couple of stretches tonight where it looked like it, where he just wasn't involved at all, and that's the risk of taking him off the ball. And then also you have Jalen like, F this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put up 29 shots tonight. And there's another 30 trips down the floor where Tatum's not involved at all. So... it's not a dilemma. They've got 50 wins. Whatever they're doing works out fine, but there isn't a perfect solution, right? There's not a perfect solution with how to do it. You almost kind of have to let him have the ball in his hands and do his thing.
Yeah, because the thinking – go ahead, Bobby.
Your best player needs to be capable of consistently making plays in that spot. I just don't think – as much as I want to see more Derek White in that spot, and they need it, and I think tonight you saw it again after they did that well in the last game, getting him more touches, getting him more involved. It's going to come down to Tatum. I agree
with this, but Tatum's not that guy, and he's proven it. I'm sorry, Aria, but go ahead, Bobby. But yes, go ahead.
Even if Tatum gets off the ball, there's still going to be shot selection questions. There's still going to be decisions he needs to make, even if he's in the second part of the action rather than the first. But they've made that decision that they want guys spaced. They want him attracting pressure, and then they want guys attacking behind that play. And unfortunately, I think what's impacted Tatum most on this trip, besides fatigue, if you feel like that's starting to set in here, is that the pressure impacts him. And I thought they got the ball to the right spot tonight. He actually had 8 assists in this game, which is really good, and he's continued to drive that number up here. But you're able to take him out of the game as a defense, as a scorer, if he's at the point of attack. So at that point, like we talked about after that Nuggets game, can you put him in different positions where he's able to get the ball and score in an easier position? Because he's still going to look to score, Shrod, which is great because you need that. Like if he's too passive, you end up with a result like that Denver game. But you're also going to end up like nights like tonight where he's 9-23, nights like the Phoenix game where he's missing a ton of shots. I like the approach overall tonight just because he has to keep shooting. We had this debate too, John. He has to keep shooting. He can't just take 10 shots and keep passing the ball.
He can't.
The shot taking is not the issue. To me, it's the diversity of the offense and putting him in different positions to take shots. I think they sometimes get too one-dimensional when he has the ball where it's like he's either going to pull up or he's going to drive all the way to the hole and attract.
Or he's going
to
be standing on the side.
Or he's going to stand. And to me, when did Tatum do any post-up to this game? I mean, did he do any, elbow get the ball at the elbow and force the defense?
No, and he was back to struggling with his finishes, too. And
the one play I love, though, he drew two in the post and did that little dump off to Brissett. I love that play.
Yes. But see, the thing about it, he has the ability to be as impactful as he is. He has the ability to be so much more when you start moving him around more. When you take him off the ball a little bit and put him in position where he has to make a quick, decisive movement or decision that defense maybe not have an opportunity to react to. And because his playmaking has improved so much, he becomes a much deadlier player because then if he gets the ball on the elbow or on a block, he can score, fade away, find a teammate, reset the offense, and just take you off the dribble. There's so many more things he can do when they move him around more and don't just give him the ball at the top of the key and then just go flat.
You know, it's funny, Sherrod, we used to say that about Jalen, right? Like, you give him that enough of time to make a quick move. When you know there's someone that can't stay in front of him, you go to it every single time. And it's funny because with Jason, I feel like when he turns into a playmaker, it's good because you're gonna get the attention of, like, at least 2 defenders. 3, maybe, right? I mean, that's what typically happens. So you find the open guy. But because he's been sloppy with it, or inconsistent the last 3 or 4 games, it's been tough to watch because there's like at least two other playmakers that could do a better job at it, so I think there's a balance for that, and I do think it is important for Jalen for Tatum to mix that in, some of that playmaking in, because he is capable of it, but just right now I just feel like it's been off, and I think this game was a good opportunity for him to kind of get it back in a sense. But what I love about this, though, especially in this box score, is the fact that he was able to get the free throw line. And I'm surprised because I thought it was less. He was 6 for 8 tonight. Jalen didn't get to the line once. I just feel like between the two of them, like that's weird. Like they should both be able to get to the line.
I thought Jalen should have. I'm not a like the refs sort of guy. There were some marginal plays where I thought Jalen drew contact, but he ended up with the bucket anyway and didn't get some fouls.
They
let it go. I didn't think he was shying away from it, but Tatum was back to his a little bit of kind of cutesy soft finishing where he's not getting his rolls and then still looking for a call. You want the call, go hard. Like maybe you're not going to get that whistle all the time, but initiate the contact, play through it if you want to get the calls. That's what I don't really understand about Tatum's game when it comes to going to the rim. It's still a little bit of, kind of angles, instead of right at the rack sometimes. And, he's having to put up these tougher kind of, shots here, and he's falling out of bounds and taking himself out of play. So this was one of those, like, I mean, he really struggled. I don't know what the final numbers were, but he missed six, seven, eight shots in the paint.
Attacking the rim is where Jalen and Jason are clearly different. You know, Jalen is playing with force when he goes to the rim. He's not trying to get a foul. He's trying to get a bucket. And if you get in the way, shame on you. You just might lose a tooth.
He's like baby Giannis right now. Yeah. Like, he's bullying.
Tatum is more finesse.
And he's doing it when he backs people in the post too. It's boom, boom, boom. Exactly. And here I am at the
There's
basket.
So much
Where did
power
you go?
Aggression.
Yeah. Jalen wants that heat. He wants that smoke. He wants that physicality. Tatum doesn't. And that's not a knock against him. That's just who he is. That's his game. He's filled out to the point where he can actually take that. He can absorb that. He can deliver that physicality in certain matchups when he chooses to. But he's very selective about that. And to be candid with you, I wish he did it more, because I think there are a lot of matchups where Tatum is just physically stronger than the dude that's trying to guard him. And he can easily take that dude on a block and force the defense to adjust, because right now you want to keep Tatum on the perimeter. You want to keep him in front of you. You want to make him two contested jump shots. And Tatum doesn't have to do that to be a big-time scorer. He can take a lot of guys off the dribble, get to the elbow, or get on the block and shoot right over the top of them, because a lot of teams are playing centerless basketball where you got a guy that's 6'8", 225, 230 playing center, which is not someone that can physically impose their will on him the way, you know, a Joel Embiid or Jokic would. So I keep telling myself that the things that we're recognizing that he can – that can expand his game are things we're going to see in the playoffs. I keep telling myself that. Maybe it's a Jedi mind trick I'm playing on myself.
It's still – the problem is, though, he can get to those spots, but he's still one of the worst pull-up shooters at volume.
That's the problem right now.
I don't hate it either. I think it's fine. It's just when it doesn't go well – it's easy to scrutinize, because I think it looks a little bit predictable and deliberate. And I think teams can load up on it. And I think right now, and again, whether you want to believe in the NBA conspiracies that they're letting more stuff go because they want to tamp down scoring a little bit and not letting guys get to the line as much, or blah, blah, blah. You know, I know that there's a lot, you know, of buzz out there about what's going on, but if that's happening now, and it's going to happen a little bit more in the playoffs, that's not great for a guy like Tatum, who does a little bit too much foul hunting on some of his drives and right now isn't able to do what a guy like Durant does, which is just get – or even a Butler. Butler's not a great shooter or, like, prolific offensive player, but he's prolific at getting to his spot, rising up, getting his shot, and knocking it down. Tatum's not that guy. Tatum doesn't have a spot, per se. You know what I mean? He really is kind of like a rock the baby, let's get by my guy, either with a sidestep pull-up, which isn't super efficient, or he has, you know, getting to the rim. If he's not finishing, though, that's a huge problem. And that goes back to, like, what we were having, what Joe was talking about last year, Bobby, with Tatum. Every time you miss a play at the rim, the other team's going back in transition. How many missed Tatum layups end up with threes the other way? So he has to finish when he gets there. When he's not, it just looks bigger, you know, because you're expecting him to do it. And that's, you know, that's kind of how he's getting his points right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Unless he has one of those, like, oh, Tatum's cooking games. But I just don't think there's enough of them where he's just – striping it from long range and hitting those pull-up threes in people's faces. It's really pretty and it's great when it happens. I just don't think it happens with enough frequency that it's like something you can count on. There's way too much variance with that, depending on that.
Yeah, and one thing I've tracked with him this year is the drives. He's down in that sense, and I thought last year he hit a good stride in terms of the amount of drives to the basket he was taking. And, you know, I think there's different explanations for that, just in terms of how they're setting up the offense. You have Porzingis in that lane now. They're trying to set up him a lot there. They've been setting up other guys with post-ups. I even, like, you know, I don't know if you noticed this a little bit, John, last couple games, but him and Brown are sort of playing at the top of the key together. I think they're trying to, like, put their defenders in the same space, and Brown's been able to kind of slip out of those spots downhill. So there's definitely more of an emphasis on Tatum, as Joe Sway was talking about earlier, drawing guys to him and then passing downhill from there and playing with an advantage. You know, Joe talks about that all the time. So this is a debate we're going to have. are you using Tatum more as a finisher, scorer in different positions on the floor, or using him as the point of attack who's going to draw in the pressure and set other guys up? Because they've actually built a pretty good dynamic, and it's a big reason Brown's really rolling this season and last year to some degree too, is that the pressure hits Tatum, Brown's able to go and attack a guy one-on-one off that. And Brown again tonight, whether it was Simons, whether it was Murray, he had the mismatches and he was just pulverizing those guys.
Well, he has the mismatches because of his physical attributes, which he has over Tatum, which is he's stronger. He gets to the rim quicker. He can rise up. And he's, you know, a bit more decisive there. The problem, I think, with Jaylen is he has his blinders on a little bit. When he goes into attack mode, he can get you easy buckets, but it's less likely that you're going to get teammates involved. So there's a bit of a trade-off there when you just hand the keys over to Jaylen. Also, again, the more these guys dribble, obviously, the more there's going to be turnovers. It's really looking ahead to the playoffs. Like, what are teams going to do? You put Porzingis in there again as an X factor, it's really difficult to defend because you do have to pick your poison. As long as the Celtics don't forget that they can run the offense through Porzingis at times and run actions and get Derek White and, you know, and Porzingis into something there. And that's like a cheat code default reset when things are in a funk. Let's just run that, get those two guys going, and everything's going to work okay. Because they're going to make great reads, and you're going to have mismatches, and you're going to have Porzingis being able to do things, you know, whether it's in the post or on a smaller defender where he can just rise up and hit that jumper. It's great. But I do wonder what teams, what strategy teams are going to take in the playoffs. Are they going to blitz Tatum and make him get the ball out of his hands to other people? And can the Celtics survive that way? Like, I have no doubt Tatum's not going to be in a funk for the rest of his life right now, but I do worry that his offense is a tad predictable. And if you lean too heavily on it in the playoffs, teams are going to kind of sit back and wait for it and know what's coming. And I think you're going to give away the advantage you have, which is talent everywhere right now. You don't want to marginalize him, but you don't want to get stuck in doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, and it's tough because what they've done over and over and over again has worked so well. And I guess that's similar to last year in a sense, where the shooting thing and the three-point volume and the drive and kick game were just so deadly for so much of last year. You didn't really develop other counters that you could go to. And this team certainly has them. They can do a bunch of different things offensively, as you mentioned, John. I think they do have that in their back pocket when they need it. But it comes down to, is Joe stopping the game in those spots and, you know, putting those kind of plays out there? Are those guys having to draw that up on the fly? You know, that's what we're going to get into when there's a close game, when there's a pressure situation. But again, you see in this game, even with poor Tatum shooting, even with Brown, you know, starting hot and maybe slowing down a little bit later in the game, you still just had this fluid offense that sort of looked like it was running itself at times, the way the ball was whipping around, the amount of different playmakers you had out there. The pace tonight was incredible. I think that was a real benefit of having the bench out there too. I'll give Joe credit for that spot, Pritchard start. I didn't expect it, but you get 11 and 8 out of him with no turnovers. So there's a lot of playmaking here. There's a lot of guys you can trust with the ball in their hands. And that's on Tatum. And we're always going to talk about Joe. We're always going to talk about Jaylen, you know, everybody else around him. But at the end of the day, he's the one who's entrusted with the ball. So he can give it up to a White. He can get off the ball if he wants to. He can set a screen if he wants to. And I know they have a system they're trying to play out of here, so that's why you're not going to see a lot of the cutting and stuff that we sometimes want to see from him. But he's the one who can stay involved in other ways when the shot's not there. And that, I think, is what we're looking for, John, because it didn't happen against Denver. He got taken out of that game completely because of the lack of shooting. Tonight, you see some other things. I thought in Phoenix, especially, you saw some other things keep him in the game. But if you're 9 of 23, you got to be bringing it elsewhere. And luckily tonight he did.
Well, a lot of Tatum's success when he's not shooting the ball well is other guys taking advantage of the shots that he's missing or shots that he's not taking. You look at a guy like Sam Hauser, who, you know, we all know is a really, really good three-point shooter. But if you saw it tonight, I mean, there were times where he put the ball on the floor and shot the mid-range shot. And if he's able to do that, just a simple three dribble step into pull-up jump shot, that's a problem for teams defensively, because now all of a sudden the guy that you are closing out on, because you know he's such a deadly three-point shooter, if he can take three steps in and pull and knock down that shot, that's going to create even more opportunities for the rest of the guys. And then you get this domino effect where everyone is open. It's just a matter of the Celtics deciding at what point are we going to take this open shot? And again, going back to your point, Bobby, Tatum is the guy that initiates a lot of that. I thought this was a game where I think he realized at some point that it's just not going to my night to knock down shots. Let me rack up some assists and not make mistakes when I have the ball. You look at him and Jaylen Brown, I think they had one turnover between the two of them. We don't even go a quarter with those guys having one turnover between, let alone a game. So Tatum was not, by no means was this one of his better games, and he definitely didn't look like himself. But there was, again, I think the Celtics, they're able to get by when on these nights when other guys are making the most of the opportunities that Tatum would otherwise take.
Plus, Portland sucks.
And there's that. It's hard for me to hate on Portland because my guy Chauncey's the coach. That's my guy.
I thought they fought.
But his team sucks.
They did fight.
They did fight. I wanted to talk a little about Scoot Henderson because I don't know if he's fixable or not. It's been
a long season for Chauncey, man. You know he didn't see bad. The same thing coming
Scoot might need an intervention when the season's over.
It wasn't supposed to be like this, right?
It was not. Real quick.
He was hurt almost immediately.
I was going to say real quick, guys. I just think this game, though, like what Gerard just said, that's like a sign of a championship team, right? When a guy like Sam Hauser has a night like today, like it's like, okay, this is my chance. I'm about to go off. And it's like, oh, well, no one really saw this one coming. But, I mean, that's what's supposed to happen when you have guys who have been in the rotation all season long. They get extended minutes, extended opportunity, and they make the most of it. And I think that was – a testament of what we saw tonight with Hauser. You know, every once in a while you get a game like that for one of these guys, and to me it kind of shows you that they're on the right path, you know, in terms of like winning a championship. When guys like that can just show up, put up 20 plus like it's nothing, you know.
Yeah, real quick, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor here, Prize Picks, baby. Do we have one of those cool videos to play? Sometimes we do.
Hope we do. Is it here? The way you describe it.
No, that's merch.
Everybody's gonna
want to watch. Uh-oh, John's gonna start pressing buttons.
I'm just gonna press weird buttons and see. Oh, ooh,
Prize Picks.
Do you see it? Isn't it cool? You guys aren't impressed. All right. Anyway, let you guys know about Prize Picks. Prize Picks. It's pretty fun. Pretty fun game. If you want to get into the number one. It's just the number one daily fantasy sports platform in North America. No big deal, right? Super fun, super easy. Player projections, all you got to do, just download the app, boom, check it out. Anywhere between 2 and 6 player projections over under, and that's it. Watch the winnings roll in. Good time to get started with this. It's not football season, obviously, but you do have a lot of action with the NBA playoffs, NCAA tournament about to get underway, and that's a lot of fun. So it's the best way to get in on the action. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. All you have to do is go in and download that app. Use the code CLNS. That's super important. Use the code CLNS and your initial deposit can get matched up to $100. That's instant. You don't have to wait for it at all. As soon as you put your deposit in, bing, you get those bonus bucks. $100 right there in your account, and you get to play around with that and do whatever you want. Once again, download that app. Use code CLNS on your first deposit right now. So, hey, guys, we're back. The Tatum thing, I think, is just something we're watching because you've seen him go into this little weird, odd spiral, and you want to see him snap out of it, and there's plenty of time to do that. Other things from tonight that you guys – liked that you wanted to talk about. Again, we talked about Brown's aggressiveness. It's interesting, right? It's almost like, and I've said this before, it's like you get stretches where Tatum and Brown are both playing their best brand of basketball, or does it feel like it's one up, one down? And at different times, yeah, of course there's been overlap. I mean, they've won friggin' 50 games this year. They're obviously doing something right, and you get a lot of those, both guys hit 30 games, which everybody loves so much. But it does feel like, you know, like I almost like, and maybe this is I think maybe it's a little bit to Jaylen's credit. I think maybe he can sense when Tatum's not in a groove and mm-hmm. says, let me just give it to me right now. I got it. You know,
his
level of aggression these last few games, especially when Tatum's been kind of on the down, has been really noticeable, almost to like a, hey buddy, chill out, we don't want you to get hurt sort of way. But he's playing like with a, like a playoff snarl right now. And it's almost like, all right, I'm not effing around. If you're not feeling it right now, someone's got to do this. It might as well be me.
These first quarters are just getting ridiculous from him. And that goes back a while, but opening right. up this one, scoring inside off Pritchard, attacking inside, kicking out, getting fouled, like just on but his first three possessions.
He's playing with control, which again, the chat keeps pointing out, which is really interesting because that would be all right, he's going to do it. But, you know, when, you know, the there's turnovers and there's weird stuff that happens when Jaylen tries to do too much, he's actually not doing that right now. He's much more in control while also being insanely aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's worked at this, right? So you expect it's going to get better as time goes on. And it's simplified to some degree, too, when you have these options around you. A lot of nights is Porzingis and him playing out of a two-man. Tonight you saw him and White getting into the two-man, which I think was a big difference early on when Tatum wasn't getting going. And, you know, he's 52% in first quarters this year, 7 points a game in those spots. So this is that consistent role he's in. And you almost wonder if, you know, it's probably unspoken, but this is how the game starts. You know, Brown's able to attack backside, Tatum's able to ease into the game a little bit. And that aggression early is a big reason they've been able to get out to leads in pretty much every game this year. They're out to a 5-10 point lead by the time the second quarter even gets started. So it's the aggression. It's the, I think, balance and strength around the rim you're seeing from him. But it's also him recognizing coverages in those spots. So if there is a guy there, he can kick it out. If he needs to pull up over a guy in the lane, he's going to do that. So he's just smarter.
Jack 8-3. He might have forced a few threes tonight, but so be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just the offense. But I think he's just become a smarter player. There's no doubt about it. And that's through the repetitions. You see the drills he's doing. You see the opportunities he's been given, and credit to him, he's wanted to be in those positions. I do think the offense stalled a little bit. I want to say in the third quarter when Tatum was off and he was on leading, and you know, that's always been a problem to some degree with them and with his game there at the point of attack. You know, the double started coming his way. One set he got into a little too slow and they were able to rotate out to a bunch of guys. I think that was around the time Portland went on that 15-5 run. But, you know, you get Tatum back out there, and when they're on the floor at the same time, they're able to fill those roles together.
Facts, my dog.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Oh, so Sherrod wasn't listening to shit.
No, I was listening. I just wanted to feel Jimmy be here with us when he can't be
oh,
here.
Got you. Yeah.
So
he dropped at least like two of those this show. That's true.
Right.
Yeah. I can. The chat was all over Jimmy's fat. All over when Jimmy stopped paying attention is like, facts, my dog, incoming from Jimmy in 3-2. You can see it.
Well, no, Jimmy will straight up do one of these sometimes. Just be like,
yeah.
So everyone's like, okay, he's not listening. And then he's nodding his head. And like 2-3 minutes later, he's just like, facts, my dog.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Speaking of Jimmy, I am going to fire back at him again because he keeps saying you're not going to see Jaylen on all NBA this year. I'm staying by it. I think he will be there when the time comes, especially with this role he's on.
He's making a push, and it's easy for a Celtics fan to be like, of course he's going to make it. And then you go through the names, and you're like, holy. It's the same place you were a couple years ago with him, too. It's like you're looking at it, and it's like, oh, there's a lot of definites, you know, like –
There's a new guy that's probably in that definite conversation named Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
And he's
rising up now too. So yeah, there's almost like 12, 13 automatics and you're like, oh, there's no way that guy's out. And then you realize he's fighting with like 10, 12, 13, 15 other guys. I do believe late push, the way he's been playing of late and the Celtics record, helps a ton here because you can live with reduced stats when you're on a super team because it's like, well, of course you had to score less. It'd be ridiculous if you were still putting up, if you had two guys scoring 60 points a game with this much talent around you, that's just silly. So people will forgive that, but his overall play has increased where I think he's in the convo. He's far from a lock though.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be a lock. I don't think he's a lock last year either. And then, you know, you get some help with injuries. There's a big finishing stretch from him too that made a slam dunk. And that's what he's going to need this year. And he's on that stretch right now.
Same thing happened last year, but this is even better, right?
Yeah. And he's on that stretch right now. I think you're going to see Halliburton eliminated because of games. I want to say Mitchell's right there now to being eliminated. So that's going to make a big difference. It's going to cut some guys out too.
That's going to make a big difference for sure. A couple updates tonight. The Cavaliers lose again. Again, obviously playing.
Oh, KD destroyed them.
Without Mitchell, that's not going great for them.
Donovan's on my fantasy team. Drive me nuts.
Get ready for Thursday. Booker's back. Durant's rolling.
It's going to be a good game.
That should be good. Celtics should be fully loaded as well. It is 8.5 now over the Bucks, 9 in the loss column. Cavaliers slipping further and further away. Not like any of this matters. This is a foregone conclusion as far as this goes with the season. A small little thing we wanted to talk about was anybody paying attention to some of those West Coast scores might see these really interesting stat lines that feature guys like Banton and Stevens and these guys, that used to play in Boston, putting up numbers. And Banton, what does he do? 30 points. Granted, he did it on, like I said, I tweeted it. It was 30 points on 10 of 27 shooting. It was a Thanasis Manning line.
hey, that's what you do. You get on a team like that, the shots are there. You got to take them. Tonight, you should have taken more. You only took six.
But that wasn't – he got forced into starting for some injuries, and he had a stretch where he was putting up some decent numbers, which, again, it's for Portland, which means no one on Portland could start for the Celtics. So, like, if you're starting there, you're still the 11th best guy on Boston.
But the potential is there, John. That's what it is.
But the question people were asking, and I'm asking you guys, I'm not saying it. I'm just throwing it out there, do you feel, I know Sherrod's going to feel this way with Stevens, you're still looking for, that stay ready guy. I guess you settled on Brissett, but do you feel those guys got a fair shake when they were here that they ever, got a good enough look to make a determination? Because you brought in guys who had played legit NBA minutes other places, some of them being non-competitive situations, brought them in here with the thought that this should help bolster the bench. Banton, for what it's worth, in 12 games in Portland, is averaging 14 points a game, shooting 37% from three, where he shot 12% in his very limited action in Boston. 12%. It looked like he'd never shot before. And he goes there with a little bit of confidence. And again, no stakes, no risk. 14 points on 37% shooting from three. Okay. That's something.
I'm just no, hell no. Banton.
Okay.
I thought got more opportunities than he deserved in Boston.
Okay. You got to start here.
I just don't think he's a good player.
Yeah.
I know. Now Stevens is different because Stevens actually played and showed very specific skills that should be able to translate to any team. He just didn't play here. Like when he did play, he didn't totally suck. He just didn't play that much. Bant, when he played, he wasn't very good.
He was horrible. Stevens never really got a shot.
No, Stevens is the one that to me, that's the one guy that I feel did not get a shot here.
He got to play that game against Orlando.
I can't really understand why.
He got to play that game against Orlando where they had no centers because Luke got hurt in the warmups.
That was one of their better games. That was a really fun game.
Yeah,
The style they were forced to play, playing small ball all game long, was an extremely fun game.
And
I was surprised by that.
He's such a rock.
Yeah. Mm. But no, he also, Again, I mean, and he's in a wasteland right now. He's in Memphis, but again, just 22 minutes a game. Stevens, this is 48% field goals, 42% from three, averaging 11.5 points a game. You know, I know it's still the NBA. You know, like, I know you're playing on a crap team, but it's still the NBA, and you're doing it against actual other teams. So, given an opportunity to play, both of these guys look like they could play a little. Banton, far less so. Stevens, I didn't get it all.
They're both guys with chips on their shoulders because of what happened in Boston. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that they're making the most of their opportunities, especially when you look at each situation that they're, you know, there isn't really a whole lot of people in front in terms of, or at least there isn't a whole lot of like, hey, the season's on the line here. If you can't cut it, we're going to pull you. And I think they feel bad because it was the complete opposite here in Boston. Whereas, you know, you make one or two mistakes, you're getting pulled immediately. This is a team with championship aspirations. So I think that you take that pressure and, well, the pressure and the feeling of, you know, that you failed and the minimal opportunities you were giving here in Boston. And I think this is that result of that. And of course, these are guys that have been in the league for 2-3 years. They're not rookies here. So that you have to take that into account as well. But I also think that, you know, when you look back on it, it was just really hard to gain Mazzulla's trust. And what I mean by that is guys that have obviously established themselves based off last season, continuing to this year, they've made strides in their progression. You know, you got the top best six players compared to any other team's top best six players. So, you know, you kind of get this tunnel vision in a sense, but also you have a short leash for guys like Stevens and for guys like Banton, you know, and I think that, you know, 3 months into the season, let's face it, Mazzulla made his decision in terms of guys he was going to play, guys who were going to crack the rotation, guys that may have a shot at cracking the rotation, but both of these guys were outside of that entire window, if you ask me.
I still don't understand why Stevens didn't get a legitimate shot to play. I still don't understand.
You're right, Shira. He didn't.
You also didn't need to get rid of both these guys in the deals because you did it to keep a roster spot open. Doesn't seem like there's any intention in filling that spot right now. So
yeah, I guess my greater point on it was I get what everyone's saying in the chat, and we know, like, it obviously it makes sense. A team this good, you know, if you're find yourself in that 9-12 slot, yeah, you're not going to play a lot, but staying ready almost guarantees you're not going to be ready. You know what I mean? And that's what we saw in limited action from Stevens and Banton. I fear that's what you're getting out of Tillman here. So if you I don't get the in and out thing. Just commit. If the guy's he's in the circle of trust or he's not. He's kind of in Brissett land right now. And if you can live with that, that's fine. If Joe is 100% certain, I'm telling you this, Bobby, and I'm being nice. I think Luke Kornet is going to have the quickest hook you've ever seen in your life in the playoffs. You know?
Wow.
I really do. Because he's going to be terrifying in the playoffs. I think Pritchard's going to have a really quick hook in the playoffs, too. Because you're going to be worried that they're going to hunt him and it's going to, you know,
there needs to be a seventh man. Someone's going to be the seventh man.
There's no locked down seventh guy. And I guess it's Hauser. There's no
change. I was just going to say Hauser, but it's going to change. It varies. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's getting yanked around. So I don't know what the point is. None of us think Xavier Tillman is a savior, but all of us thought Stevens could have contributed. I think a lot of people did. And a lot of people think like Tillman could contribute.
They're giving Tillman some shots here. You know, not a ton, but they've gone to a couple games, Dallas, the most recent one there, Denver, where Tillman's in over Kornet. And it's the situation we're talking about here. You know, you get a rotation, you got to show something. And if you don't, you're kind of back in that no man's land of sitting on the bench behind everybody else who's in front of you. So it's a tough position to be in. Brissett, I think, has dealt with it really well this year. He was good again. That guy hasn't played rotation minutes since January. I like it. And he was really good again tonight. So some of these guys are staying ready. You hope Tillman can stay ready because he really is in that stay ready position, John. You're right. If there's a quick hook for Cornette, if there's a matchup that fits Tillman's style, he's going to have to be able to go in there and produce. And this is what we have some gripes about right now with the way they're using the rotation. Even a game like this where Tatum Brown, all these guys didn't really need to play. Like, could you have gotten Tillman some extended run, some reps in a game like this? Even if you lose the game, it's not the end of the world. He's got to be ready to actually play if he gets the opportunity. And then with this conversation we're having right here, if Tillman just sits on the bench the whole stretch run, I know he's signed next year, I believe, or, you know, he'll be able to be retained fairly easily. I think he actually is up after this year. Was it worth 2 seconds to go get a guy who's just going to sit on the bench the whole way, even if he is insurance? It's the same conversation we had with Mike Muscala last year. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, it's a small thing here, but I think they have to put him in position to actually be able to impact the team in the playoffs. Because the first two times he got out there, didn't really look like he was ready to impact the team.
Sure, it did. I think you're missed. Tillman's had a couple of good runs here throughout. So I think you're misremembering a little bit, but
he can play. I mean,
you know,
I think the Dallas game he was solid. The Denver game wasn't great.
The Denver game was bad for a lot of guys. I can't use that one as the kind of the litmus test for whether he's ready to go or not.
Tatum was also bad that game. Should we sit him for the rest for the next three nights so he learns a lesson?
Like, so where are you at on it?
I just don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the plan is. I can't quite figure it out. Tonight it was like, do you start him along? You were like, you suggested, should you start him along with
Allen? I want to see him start.
Get them run. I think
and he didn't play a single second.
I think he sat Bobby tonight was trying to
see
him.
Bobby was trying to see him fail. That's what he said. Start.
I think he sat tonight because of two reasons. I think he's still reconditioning off of the knee. And I think he's going to play extended minutes tomorrow when Al sits, and you might be without KP as well.
That knee's a tricky thing with him. It's something you're always going to have to kind of manage.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets run there and you move something out there. So I could see him starting and playing 25 minutes tomorrow. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked. It's going to be a lot of Tillman and Luke, Bobby. They're going to tomorrow.
Tillman's definitely
tune in playing tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to think Porzingis might be out again.
Get that graphic ready.
I wouldn't play him. I'd keep him out.
Let's hit some hamstring tightness.
Kelly O will do something weird to Porzingis. You don't want to see it, like twist his arm.
Olenek on the Raptors.
Yeah.
Kelly the Killer Olenek.
Yeah. Any other thoughts for tonight before we wrap it? It is late, and, you know, it's West Coast. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But
yeah, that flew by almost an hour. Look at that.
Yeah, on Portland on a Monday.
On freaking Portland.
On the West Coast. We did it.
You know what's interesting, guys? I just feel like, this has little to do with tomorrow night's game, even though it's the second half of back-to-back. But it's interesting with this whole Jason Tatum thing, looking fatigued out there, even though post-All-Star break and, just the way he's been playing, just this overall body language, in my opinion. I just feel like at some point, he's got to take a rest, man. Like, I mean, obviously, there's the Phoenix Suns matchup. There's some couple of games, I know we talked about it a couple of nights ago, that stand out that are still remaining on the schedule. But for the most part, man, I just think that's going to be really important towards the end of the season. Making sure Tatum gets his rest in, another deep playoff run, the third consecutive one. I think this stuff starts to add up, especially when you think about contractual obligations. You know, what's the big company? Nike. Tatum was not that, trying to put him on blast here, but out late, he had a Nike event or whatever, and I don't know about the other nights or whatever, but I just feel like maybe he's not getting enough sleep or something. There's something to it, man. Like, I don't think this is a coincidence, like the way he's looked out there, and I don't think it's an injury thing. I could be wrong.
I like it.
I don't think it's a health thing. I think Tatum needs some sleep, man.
He's not getting
conspiracy bombs out here. Okay, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like be Mr. Old Man. You know what I mean?
Don't back off it now, Joe Sway.
I'm not backing off. My whole thing is like, I'm not trying to be the older guy being like, that kid needs some sleep. He's not sleeping enough. But he looks like he's not sleeping enough, man. Like, and I know
that's what he looks like all the time.
Yeah, I know.
But maybe I'm basing this off of his social media activity. But he was up late for a Nike event. And I know, again, Nike's in Portland. I get it. I know he's a Nike player and all that. But I don't think it didn't help with whatever's been going on before. I don't think it's just what happened last night. I think Tatum needs to just whatever he's got going on, man. I think he's gonna pull it back a bit. And I think the team has to help him also with resting him. But I don't think that happens this week. But I think it happens in the near future.
Well, once they get to that double-digit lead in the East, and then it's just, you know, you got to pick some spots to just say, we're not going to play you this game because there's not a lot of value in it. I mean, at this point, winning really doesn't matter as much as making sure your guys are good to go come playoff time.
And they need some mouth tape.
Yeah.
Little mouth tape. No, but you're right, Josue. I mean, Sherrod, just – you're going to see it a lot, right? You're going to see a lot of guys in and out. You're going to see a crap ton of load management here. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to feel anything but sprightly and refreshed and just springing around and excited to play. And there's no reason. Yeah.
And I know Tatum doesn't want to disappoint those fans on Tuesday night in Charlotte. Or whatever, when they're playing a crappy team.
Which was the way this year, but yeah.
I know you got or those fans in Atlanta on a Tuesday night and then Friday night, but
yeah,
you need rest.
I was bummed he played in this one. I thought this was a good night to sit pretty much everybody down once they put them all on the list there, but I guess that sets up your next night of rest, so he'll probably be out tomorrow.
Not one of them gets it.
Yeah, right. Rest them up. Let's get out of this funk. Let's get moving. Let's get done with these West Coast games. I'm not built for this anymore. Okay, this used to be my wheelhouse. John, Bobby knows.
A little more juice for the games.
I'm still doing it.
Thursday. We went 90 minutes Thursday.
I'm still texting with Bobby at 2:30 a.m. and then with friggin', all the dads at 6:30 a.m. So like my window is really small, but oh my God, just let's wrap it up, guys. So again, thank you guys for hanging out late. I know for all of you, East Coasters, like the rest of us, hanging out super late, watching a game that nobody really needed to watch and a game that probably didn't need to be played. Yet it was. The Celtics get to win number 50. It's quite an accomplishment, honestly. 50-14. Looking really good right now. Closing out the road trip in Utah. And then that is that. So again, thank you guys for watching. Remember, check out Prize Picks if you're interested in DFS. It's a lot of fun and a super easy to use app. We all enjoy it here on the Garden Report. So check it out. Tatum sits next game. Don't worry about it. You get refunds. Okay. So you want to bet against the guy? Bet against Sleepy Tatum tomorrow on a back-to-back? Go for it. You want to bet Luke gets a 30-piece tomorrow or Tillman? That's a sneaky good pick. Who's picking an over on Tillman to do anything?
Ooh. I might go there.
He's playing tomorrow. We know that. Anyway, check it out. Thank you guys once again. Let me find our little Jimmy outro, which he loves. There it is. We'll see you guys later.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
It was the champ.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.